Face it that way.
Is it working now? It's on?
It's on, yeah.
It's on. Do you have a question?
This is gold.
Question.
How about
this from Baldur, you know?
Does that mean he holds you good for an ace?
I don't think he means that, but I think it means that a Kaddish Baruch Hu might do an ace. You're not supposed to daven for an ace.
But and I'm wondering if that premise is, if the rain was having to agree with that premise.
I have to see the context because it could be what
he says
means.
About the emotion. He says about in the context, and he says like when the police.
So but it was. I'm not sure if they knew that she was an akara or just didn't have kids for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
That's why this. So Libet Emes was Mishane. Rav Moshe Shapiro once showed me a Shita Mekubetzes. In Rashi, in the first Madura, brought the Shita Mekubetzes in Ksubis, it says by Beinu Akadish. Rabbi Macy Doke Bechorev said, why? Because they've heard he died. They'll stop being involved in. So by studies that if they wouldn't know about it, they would be misfallen and it could happen. That's what he was in fact.
And the Gemara, did they die when people were dead?
Well, at least it says Berachmim, he was, yeah.
Or in the Gemara, was
Okay, we start? Okay, good.
No, I think Shlomi's away. Shlomi's away in New York.
Okay, so I guess we wanted to, on the one hand, I did want to say on the topic of Amuna. On the other hand, I wanted to speak a little more, it's something again, in Yad Yomus. So I wanted to speak more about Emuna in terms of what type of koach it is. In other words, it's easy for us, we recognize and know things by our senses. Things that we see, things that we hear, things that we smell, etc. That's knowing. We know things by things that we reason. And the seichel can reason out, even though I didn't see X or Y or Z, but if A is true and B is true, C must be true, and we also deherit as a reality and so on. Emuna is something that's hard to understand what the tchunas ha-nefesh of what is Emuna Mesiachas to. Is it a way of reasoning? Did the person who's a kaifa make a mistake in reasoning? Hard to, you know, it's when I'm arguing with somebody who's not a maimon, I am a maimon, so is my thinking right and his reasoning power is wrong? What does it mean? If emuna is just a feeling and a sensation, where exactly in terms of the person's his yachsus to things that he's maimon in, I'd like to try to get a little bit more of a handle on it, a little bit more to explain what it is, and so on. I want to start.
I'm going to. English word for hisyachsus.
Hisyachsus, relationship, relating to. I mean, that's literally what it means.
Is that an attitude?
Well, that's a question. I can. You know, it's when I say I have belief in something, and you say you don't. So, are we talking about? Reasoning, in other words, I've been able to complete the reasoning process that you haven't, not mistava. Is it mean I feel this way, you feel that way? I'm a temperamental guy. I kind of feel, you know, like a person who's very, very emotional feels very angry, very hurt, very elated, and you don't. So where does emuna fit in terms of the human tchunis? And so on. I want to speak about one inyan, which is also Nagir Hanukkah, and I want to use it more as a mashal, as a way of understanding more the second nekuda, which is the nekuda I'm trying to get to. Let's start with it's a small chazal. I would have, had I had the presence of mind before, I would have printed a bunch, but it's not, I'll read it, it's not that long, and I'll go slowly a bit. It's a chazal in two or three places in Tehillim, One of them actually is in Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, but part of it. The lashon that I'm quoting is a lashon that's from the Yalkut on Tehillim, and it goes like this. It says, "Hu oime valeim oime yil rotzin imrefi." David HaMelech was mispalel that what he says, the divrei Tehillim, should be lerotzin. Sheyasu v'yachkeku l'doiris. It should become something permanent. Val you koyin behem. He says it shouldn't be like Homer, that people that a sifrei minim, but people should read it, learn it, and get schar like negoyim b'holos. Shnei milrotzim efi. Miris means Homer. It's they're actually in Chazal and in Sfarim when it's brought down, they either call it with a samach at the end, like Homerus, or Hamirim, the as a suffix. But both of them mean Homer. That's the way Chazal bring it. So it's strange. He says, David HaMelech says, I don't want my sfarim to be like Homer, like this is Sifrei Minim. So in other words, there might be some kanoim that would put out tzetlach that Tilum is full of kfira, and there was one Purim, there's a Letz, who every Purim in Yerushalayim, I think lives in America now, but he puts out tzatlach that are really good. And one of them was that since Tanakh is more like kfira and apikorsis, they it's banned strictly, and you know, so on and so forth. A whole, in Kiyadua, our Mesiris was not learned Tanakh, very, very, it's quite a cynical piece. But at any rate, he says that it shouldn't be like kfira, but they should learn it. They should be ma'ayin in it, and it should be like the goyim v'holos. I mean, the range. It's like saying I don't want to have to collect like turkey dinner, like Thanksgiving's dinner is the local mission. I want to have a mansion in somewhere in Westchester County with the Rolls Royce. I mean, he's saying, I don't want Tilum to be a Sifrei Minim, and what's the problem with Sifrei Minim? I guess you just won't read it, but I wanted to sit and to learn the Misagei on it, like the Misagendis. Something's very not clear, like me. Like, what are the two studies? What's one, what's the other? So he says, Amar Abiyam Hashem Biyachna, Ksiva Guru Balecho Elamim, V'chitala Al Daitcha Shedavid Bikesh Dio B'Shnei Elamim, Ela Oma Yukoyun Maskirin Zibat Gassiz Bat Roshan Kilo Nikayim. The Melch asked Agur Alamcha Ba'olcha Alamim is that the Melch should be zeichah to live in two worlds simultaneously. Olam Hazen, Olam Haba. How people should learn it and so on and so forth. It's also a little bit, if he wanted his man to say he wants to be remembered forever, perpetualized, he's saying, no, I want that I should have the best of both worlds. I should be in Olam Haba and I should be learning Olam Hazen. It's strange the two worlds. I usually say there should be a zecher and people should remember me and sips of David's behavior and so on. So I want to talk about this inyan of David HaMelech here. And, the contrast to Yavin is part of the bigger picture that we're going to see. Let's start first with the inyan itself. What was he asking for? Torah was given on three strata. You have Torah, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. You have Nevi'im, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words to a Navi that he says over. That's Nevi'im. And then there's Ksuvim, which are not words that were told to a Navi. Let's describe the way David HaMelech says it. It's a Pasuk Shmuel Beis. It says, Ve'ela divrei David achronim. These are David's final words. Neum David ben Yishai neum ageva hekim ol Mashiach alekei Yaakov neim zmiris Yisrael. Ruach Hashem diber bi umilos elashayni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ruach spoke in me and his words came out of my tongue. In other words, David HaMelech was mispalel, not mispalel, here he's describing the divrei David. In other words, this is the caption of what it is that I've said. Ruach HaKodesh, as distinct from Nevuah, is as follows. The Ramchal describes it pretty much, and in the Rambam, it's merumes. When a person says something which lechura is a toilada of his own seichel and das, he thought about something and he came up with the answer. And from the answer, it's nicker that there's something a lot deeper than we set out to do. It's way out of proportion to the das that he put into it, or to the das that a human being could put into it. When Rishayim Achrayim use the following language about somebody else's chiddush, they say ein elu el divrei nevuah. It's not a compliment. It means, listen, maybe you're right, but you certainly haven't done anything to prove it. I mean, if you're telling me Hashem appeared to you and he told you this, then okay. But you know, besides the fact that you don't pass it from nevuah, ein ela divrei nevuah. Besides the gemara that says nevuah is given to shaitim ektanim, but even in a kind way, ein ela divrei nevuah means where you're coming from. You're coming from left field. Hofia ruach hakodesh bebeis medrashenu is usually a very positive term, especially since it's used to the rabbit says a kar hofia ruach hakodesh. It means, well, that teretz is so right and so brilliant. Yes, it makes sense, and you said it, and you didn't take it. But something spoke within you. It's Ruach HaKodesh is the sense that within those words, something else came out. It's as if a person, Moslem Adav Daima, a person digs a pit to store water, like they do not just store, they have bayrus, cisterns, and If it can hold 1 gallon, it holds 1 gallon, 10 gallons, 10 gallons, 100 gallons, 100 gallons. Somebody dug a 100 gallon boyer, but he's drawn already 300 gallons of water. So the water is not stored water. It came from someplace else. When you dug, you must have hit something deeper than rock, and this water coming out and becoming part of the storage of rainwater. That's the mashal for Ruach HaKodesh. So a nevuah, the Navi comes along and says, this is what Hashem told me. And the Navi says it the way he heard it. Ruach HaKodesh, he says his own feelings, his own thoughts. And when he reflects on what came out of his mouth, or when people hear it, they hear something beyond what human mind could have, or what David could have, and so on. So David, when he describes his words, he says, Ruach Hashem diber bi umilas al shayni. Through me, Hashem spoke, and it came out from me, and that's what's there. The world, in the world of what he calls Sifrei Homerus, Homer, it's not... David HaMelech's Tehillim, it's very interesting. Let's go a step back. The Yerushalmi says that the Mishnah says that if a person reads Sifrei Chitzayinim, he has no chelek olam haba. What's Sifrei Chitzayinim? So it says Ben Sira or Ben Lana. The Yerushalmi says that's Ben Sira Ben Lana. But Sifrei Homerus, you can read, but it says is Kairei Ki Geres, but I think that's V'loi Hoigimba of Lama'ainen, but I don't remember the exact Lashon. You can read it, but you can't be ma'ayin in it. You can't learn Rebbechber on Homer. It's what's the distinction? Ben Sira is a sefer. It looks like it's a Mishle type sefer. It's words of advice, wisdom, what's right to do, what's wrong to do, and that was dangerous because it's ki'ilu Torah. It's someone instructing you right and wrong. Homer and that type of work are expressions, people's feelings when they saw things that were great, things that were noble, things that were terrible. It's the hargasha of a person observing human events. It is correct on the chitzoniyus shebo. In other words, yes, it's an observation, but there is nothing more. There is no inner wisdom that comes out of it because it starts with the person, ends with the person. So all you got, you know, you get what you see. There's nothing more to be ma'ayin and mis'amik in it, has no makom Because the person has there's no emek more than the person. So if you understand what the person said, and you understand what he meant with it, you have it. There's nothing more. In the world of Torah that's comparable to Homer is Shirei David, by his own words. Shirei David, hopefully, and in other words, this was what his tefillah was, struck something that was deeper than his own observation. It opened up a well that tapped into something deeper that Ruach Hashem Dibbe Bi. So he was mispalel in this contrast by he took Sefer Homerus, which Chazal say has a makom for kriya and not iyun, and he said that his words should become a chalik of that. And that's the pshat in the other half, where he says, "Agura b'hol choy lamim." In other words, that type of construct of having a panimius and a chutz is really the tzura of a guf and a neshama. Let's explain it a second. Of every person, there is no part of our neshama that doesn't attach itself to a guf. If chas v'shalom you pogay a person's brain, his mind goes as well. You don't have the mind without the brain. But if you have the brain, and you look at it, and you see slice after slice on the microscope, you still don't see the mind. The mind is something within it. It's like, given this physical unit, you have over here something that enholds in it. It taps into something much deeper than a physical unit, which we'll call the neshama, and that's what comes out. So the person's nekuda, when a person has heard something deeper than where he's went to it, that's the pshat, he tapped into something. So the guf and the neshama, David HaMelech said he would like his words to exist on two planes. He would like it to exist in this world, that people can read the words of Tehillim and feel it's part of themselves. And Tehillim is David HaMelech's observation of life and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc. And when a person says it and learns it and thinks about it, something much deeper opens up, and that is the world of the other world. So Agura Balamim, he said, with my words, I'd like to straddle two worlds. Words of human that human mind brought into this world, and the depth of it, and so on. I want to. So we have three daggers of Torah. We have we have Torah, we have Nevuah, and we have Ruach HaKodesh. The Lechura, on the surface of it, Torah is much bigger. And Nevuah is second, and Ruach HaKadosh is third, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Torah it's the most galudic, it's open. Nevuah has a little bit of a distortion to it, and Ksuvim is human with a touch of God. The truth is, in a certain sense, it's the other way around. Because when I deher Torah, I deher the Metzias as a stira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah, he had to close the whole world down. It says a bird didn't chirp, nothing. Everything was shut down, because if it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking, nothing else can be speaking. So the clarity of Torah required, nothing should exist but the Dvar Hashem. Klal Yisrael was in a matzav of Nevi'im. There was nothing doing. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to get Torah, didn't eat, didn't sleep, and so on and so forth. It didn't tolerate the world. Nevuah is some sort of partnership. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, but then it comes down through words, and that's why it picks up the distortions of each Navi, and so on and so forth. That's Baklal Shemir. Ruach HaKodesh tells me that even where the world is talking, within that you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not tangible, so to speak, but the Teva itself peels away to say there's something more to it. If I can give a marshal for it, Avraham Avinu, when he came to Emunah, he said, "It klum yesh bara olam." In other words, he didn't klum yesh bira bli manhik. His first approach was, "I see a world, but it can't be empty. Something's got to be in it, and where is it?" Then it says, "Hitzitz olav habori." So, in terms of the herring teva as not being of any consequence, it's much deeper when the Teva is talking and you hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking from it, rather than the other way around. I remember I once saw a little story, but I thought it was a very interesting observation. Somebody was talking, I think it was to Castro, and he told him, you know, I guess this person was kind of very close to Castro, and he told him something about in America, they sell communist stuff in all the stores. And you don't let any American stuff, so obviously they're a much freer country than you are. And he told him, "You fool." He said, "Don't you understand? They are so they're so tightly watched, they're not even afraid to allow communist stuff in the stores. Don't you understand what kind of dictatorship it must be that they're not even afraid, because they'll know automatically who read it and they'll have him down and so on and so forth. The big brother will be, you know, completely on top of it." It's an interesting perspective, but it says something when to the hair HaKadosh Baruch Hu Teva can talk and still HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks. The masterful. Even that observation, there's one level of dictatorship when you feel you must crush your enemies and eliminate anybody important. There's a much better grip when you're shrewd enough to know how to manipulate everyone else, and everyone else thinks that they're running your own agenda. At the end of the day, everybody is doing it for you. That's the hair of that. So, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was master his panim, and it became less overt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga, it became a lot more manifest within Teva. So a person is a scientist, and he looks at things, and he says, this works because of this, and this works. We always used to think, God does this, God does that. I have a whole system and a whole mahalach. And you see, but one second. What keeps all these pieces going and moving and obeying these laws? And in every nekud of it, if I understand the panemius of it, then it's a very different world. We know so much about neurology. That's fantastic. And where are those neurons is a person's love and hatred and disappointment. The whole range of a person's entire... If a person... What to say to myself, my entire life, with everything I went through, and everything I'm hoping for, and everything I'm despising, and everything I've attained, is it a pound of flesh? That's not different than a salami. That's incredible. I mean, where is it? So Emuna comes in a very different oifen. So first we're describing that how HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to us when it's day outside, when it's light, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears begolui. So we hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu and nothing else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it's dark, we hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu within everything else. We never able to point and say Zekei Levaveyu. You can never kind of pinpoint it and see it. But you're always deherring it. You're always extrapolating it mentally and emotionally from different circumstances. I want to read a piece in the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is the beginning of the Sefer of Emunah Bitachon. It's interesting because Emunah B'Tochen is not really safe about Emunah B'Tochen. People who haven't learned it say, oh, and Emunah B'Tochen says Emunah B'Tochen. He does discuss Emunah, does talk B'Tochen, but it's not the purpose of a seif, actually. The purpose of a seif is to discuss how fidelity to halacha and yigiyas haTorah are the only way that keeps a person straight. That's really matar to seifa. There's a bit of polemic about Musa, a bit of polemic about Chassidus, but the Chaznish is the way he, only he could write, I mean, extraordinarily beautiful and carved, every word of it. He's one of the only writers that every word counts, and yet it is extremely moving and beautiful. I'm going to read the first paragraph of it. It says like this: Im ha'adam hu bal. It starts like this: Midas emuna hinetiya daka madinas hanefesh. The mida of emuna is a very fine strand of a refined neshama. Im ha'adam hu bal nefesh. If the person has a refined neshama to himself, v'shaito shas ha'sheket. And it's a quiet moment. Chofshi mira oven tavani, free of physical craving. The einoi marhive machzeh shemayim l'roim, and the person's eyes are overwhelmed by what he sees in the heavens. The haaretz laomek, and the earth in its depths. Hu nirgash v'nidham, the person is all in tumult. Ki ha'olam nidma lefanav kechida stuma. The world appears like a closed riddle. K'musa v'nifla. Closed and wonderful. V'achida zois. And this riddle, melafefes as levav mocho, engages his heart and mind. V'hukim is aleph. And he is like unconscious. Lo nish'ar b'ruach hayim. Completely without any life, bilti al achida kol menagasa, completely focused on trying to get hold of this riddle. Vidas pisrona kol sanafshay, and to understand the meaning of that riddle is what he wants. Vinifchalo lovei le'eshu b'mayim b'shvila, and he would go through fire and water to solve this riddle. Kimalo lechayim, what point is there to live? Im achayim ani ima elu nelom menu tachas elam, if the life, if the secret of life is beyond him, and so on. And he says, and he hasn't yet gotten over these wounds, and all of a sudden gets hit a second time because he begins to see the world and its amazing structure, and so on. So the Chaznish gives it over in the following way. Emuna is the herring. The what's not known and what's not visible, because it has to be there. In other words, it's when I see something, and I know there's something more to it, and the craving for the thing that I know has to be there, but I haven't seen it. That's called emunah. So when the scientist looks at the bits and the pieces. Or not scientists, the person looks at the bits and the pieces and the things and so on and so forth. I was once talking to Rev Leuchter, he's a big Baal Musa, I know some of you might have heard him, I never heard him. It's a chav of mine, and he himself actually is a Baal Tshuva. He was, I think he came in in an all European contest in math second when he was a young boy. Very, very brilliant person. But he has very interesting observations, and he once told me in his Swiss Yiddish, he said, I'm completely devastated. He spoke to Chasheva Rav, who went for the first time to the States in an airplane. The first time his life flew an airplane. He asked him, how was it? So the guy said, it's like a bus. You get on, you get off, you sit, that's it. And he told me, there's no hope for this person. He said, it didn't at all engage him that something weighing hundreds of tons of metal could pick itself up, fly a quarter world around and land. It was a bus because he sat in a seat, he got up, he got out. He didn't sit back and say to himself, my gosh, how do you do a quarter of a world in a piece of metal flying, just didn't get it. And the hispilus that the person has, when it has that there's something behind something else, that's the nekuda daka of emuna. There's a zaya, and I sorry.
Most people are not bothered. Most people go to planes like the rubber went on the plane. And it's the same thing about the world. We see Mamash,
you know, there's a very fascinating, this is about Tanya. He writes in a small notation, I think it's in the Ramax writes, that if a person doesn't learn Kabbalah, he's going to be a koifer, something like that. He is a koifer. So he added, that's only if he's a Bal Nefesh. So plenty of people are fine with the beer and the club and the salami and the ball game. You don't have to if you don't have any innate sensitivity, then they're fine. You know, but a person who does have it, you know, it's yes, you're right. It's a question. You know, it's a lack of. It's not a mile on a person who doesn't have that sense of bewilderment, amazement. You know, a person who has no questions on emuna, you know, it can be because the person is such a bala emuna, and it could be because the person didn't care, couldn't care. It's not a mile on a person. There's a lashon of zaya. I don't want to go into the details of it, but I want to just use it because he says something that's very, very Noged. The Zohar says like this. It's a Zohar Pasha's Bolak. He says that the tzura of emuna and emes. He says there is no emuna with as emuna is that which is mischaber with emes, and there is no emuna b'shleimus until it has to be mischaber emes. The lashon that the Zohar uses indicates sort of as if emuna would be a lashon nekeva, like the nekeva to the zacha. The relationship of emes to emuna is a relationship of a zacha to nekeva. In other words, the ve'elav tshukaseich is the atzmius of a nekeva. And a nekeva becomes a shalom with the zacher. In other words, but the nekeva realizes herself in the elav tshukaseich when she realizes she needs something more. In other words, there's a midas. There are midas that Kadosh Baruch Hu has planted in the bria that emes is the gilui of what is. But emuna that precedes it is the search for what isn't. In other words, when the person there has what isn't, that's the beginning of the chibah to what is. And it's something that's very omic, but it's mamish what the words of the chaznish. So if we're talking about, let's go back to where we started from. We asked what exactly. When we ask of a person emuna, what are we asking? To argue it out? Some people are convinced by arguments, some people are not convinced by arguments. I tell them, okay, you're only not convinced because you're Baal Taiv and so on and so forth. But what is it? So the etzem emuna is just the argument, and you're rejecting the argument. Emuna is not the yidiyos in that sense. Is emuna just a feeling? Some people feel, some don't feel. No. Emuna, like the Chazanish says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in the world from when there's Hester Panim, from Nevuah came to a close, which is Tkufas Bayesheni, which is Tkufas of Hanukkah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears from within something. Let's compare two things. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Avikol Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu. He saw an Eish Min HaShemayim. When the first thing he saw was the snare boyer veinen ukol, so he looks at it and he says the snare's dancing, the eish is dancing on top of the snare, but it's not feeding off the snare at all. So this eish is an eish min hashamayim. It's and if I were to take the eish under a microscope or a spectroscope, it wouldn't have any lines. It wouldn't come up with snare lines. It's not feeding off the snare. So the gili was an Eish Min HaShemayim, and that's the Gil of Nevuah. The Gilui of the fire of Hanukkah was different. It was Shemen and was burning, but it burnt a lot more than it. So within the fire that the Shemen had, there was other fire. And I would dare say that if you examined the fire that was burning all night, it would look like any Shemen fire. But the Shemen fire had more fire in it than physically could be possible. And so I could never pinpoint Moshe Rabbeinu's fire was a fire. You could say, oh, this is not earthly fire. The fire of Hanukkah was earthly fire, but in the content of it, in the teichen of it, it was a lot more than that. So the Bria changed. No more would there be a Gilui of Ur, and the Munascha Baleilois, you know, came into effect with the Golas. That's the Tkufa, that's our Tkufa. And part of being a Choshech is it's Choshech also in terms of not knowing when it'll end. It's Golas, as far as we're concerned, as far as the eye can see, Nazi, I should say, it's endless. But what now one needs to look for Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not by identifying anyone that could, here's the equation for God. No equation will have God, but the person needs to look back and say to himself, but where did all the equations come from? What keeps gravity working 100% of the time, always? And no glitches, no hitches, nothing. Where did the Seder come from? Where did everything come from? Every detail has an explanation, but the whole thing together doesn't have an explanation. And that's the Mahalach. So as the Chazon Ish puts it, it's an atiyah daka me'adinus hanefesh. It comes from a person's sense of, you know, all of the details. It's like sometimes when a person is listening to an alibi, and every piece fits. He can prove every piece, but the whole story together doesn't gel, and it doesn't. So where's the point that the problem is? Well, the problem is not the point. The problem is in the whole thing together, and it's part of it is a person's learning to look back, to sit back. It says su mara menechem, ru mi bara ela. It requires a sitting, a lifting up your eyes. When you're caught up with details, every detail is going to have a hesber. Every detail is we can identify. But when we look at the klal kulei, when a person takes the time, like the Chazon Ish paints it, when he can sit back and he's not assailed by all the noise, then the person sits back and says, there's more to it. And a person doesn't feel satisfied, like the Chazon Ish describes. He says, the person feels terribly unsatisfied. I don't understand life. Life is not, it can't be all these little bits and pieces of life. It is not more than that. Just like a neurologist that's researching a person's mind, brain, a person, he can identify forever bits and pieces, but that'll never lead him to neshama until he sits back and says, but there's something on top of it that's more than neurons firing. The whole scope of what a person is a lot more than that. So I guess it's not easy to define it, but at least we have some sort of sense of where it comes from. It's where the person looks at the Hester Abriya, and the Hester Abriya itself, what he sees is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not a Gili of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what he sees is, he realizes, is not the entirety of the picture. And in the quest for the herring, that which is lacking, in the quest for the herring that is, who's more to it, that's where Emunah lies. And just like Avraham Avinu, when he asked, Klum Yesh Birab Lo Manhig, that's when Hislav Avari, when, like the Zohar says, when the Midah of Emunah, when the Midah of Emunah is Mishtoikik to Shleimus, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala the Emes, to be Memale the void that Emunah has presented. Yes.
Acquired through that quest?
Yes. Almost not acquired, it is. The quest itself, the person sitting back and asking himself, you know, where's it from? Where's it going to? those the beyond what's there, that's a tchuna that he calls it the nefir the nefesh. In other words, it's a bal nefesh rather than a bal seichel. Okay.
Well, it's a seichel begir. The whole exercise is totally seichel.
You know, it's seichel, but it's not scientific in the sense that it's kind of reduces seichel in the sense where one and one will equal two. It's not that type. It's more intuitive in that sense. But it's an intuition that drapes itself around.
That's only because we can't get the answer, so therefore you get an intuition as to what the answer must be. But the quest is a totally intellectual quest.
I guess it's intellectual in the sense because it's not just an emotional drive, but it's not the dry intellect of intellect. You know, it's like the difference between philosophy and science. Both are intellectual quests. But science addresses itself to the quantifiable, the observable, and the detail, and where, let's say, philosophy addresses itself to the principle, to the not so easily quantifiable. Yes, in some sense, obviously, that we seichel. Yes.
Is emuna the quest or the realization of there must be something else?
Emuna itself is the hair that there must be something else. You know, that quest.
Is it an outgrowth of that?
I think if I can say like that is the emuna. In the nothingness there's something there. There has to be something that nothing is.
So once you've gotten that to that point, you realize,
and
then it's there.
The stronger you sense it, the stronger you feel that it must be. It's just like when a policeman is researching a case, and it's, you know, before he got real evidence, he's still the hair's more and more that there's some sort of he's growing. I mean, well, you're not having, I don't have any evidence.
So should you always continue the quest, or is there a time when you should say?
I think you should.
Because I was talking to you sometimes. Something's happened.
Yeah, how are you?
Sometimes I say, sometimes I want to go. It's silly. That's my thing. I'm wrong. I'll stop saying it. Because there's nothing positive that can come out of it. All it's
going to
do is
cause the show and
cause makeup.
If a person can't handle something, then of course a person has a... If somebody, well, somebody had a terrible tragedy with a child or something, yes, which I'd be thinking, that you shouldn't be thinking, because if you think you've got out of your mind, you just focus on what you've got out of your mind. But in general, most things, many things, people can, you know, and emuna, there's a dagger that a person can think and just see that, you know.
And there's also the realization that you never understand.
But it's a mispoilus to walk out and be misspoiled. Even if you don't understand, but if you see, but if you're able to see a little bit, it's also something. But the shteikus itself is our way.
That's true.
Yes. The shteikus, that's a bespilus of it. It's overwhelming, and I hope. Okay.